Today's podcast is brought to you by Chikara Wrestle Factory, 4711 Wingate Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where they specialize in lucha libre, porous Sioux, European, British, and German styles, mixed martial arts, and American pro wrestling, all built into the curriculum at the Wrestle Factory, where they strive to create the most well-rounded performers active today. Hey, yo, pro wrestling podcast listeners, help us out and click the subscribe button at the bottom to show your support. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. This is episode 37. We're going to be discussing all the happenings in the world of SmackDown and 205 Live, and we just want to get kicking right into it. Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan coming out to kick off SmackDown. Decent segment where they had to discuss how they were going to handle Randy Orton and AJ Styles situation. The reality here is I'm actually a little bit surprised how they're booking this. They have Daniel Bryan is clearly in the corner of Randy Orton, whereas Shane McMahon is clearly in the side of AJ Styles. Now, if you pick up on all the rumors and you agree that they're going to try to do this AJ Styles-Shane McMahon thing, I don't understand why you would book it in that way. You would have Shane McMahon be the one in favor of Randy Orton, so at least you can understand why AJ Styles has the anger and frustration he does if he doesn't get the number one contendership. But either way, you know, they book it this way. Randy Orton is Daniel Bryan's choice. He defends his decision by stating that he won the Royal Rumble, and because of that, for the last 20-whatever years, that the Royal Rumble winner has historically been the one to challenge for the championship. Shane goes the other direction, you know. He gave up his opportunity. Orton gave up his chance to face Bray Wyatt. Instead, we had this match. AJ Styles won. He's the number one contender. I thought it was interesting that nobody decided to talk about the actual phrasing of what Randy Orton said. If you pay attention to the in-ring segment with Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt a couple weeks ago, the statement that Randy Orton made was, as long as Bray Wyatt was the master and he was the, whatever he called himself, basically the servant, he could not and would not face Bray Wyatt. Well, that sounds great, but clearly Bray Wyatt's not the master anymore. You just torched his house. They could have played that angle. That should have been part of the build-in. Hey, listen, he only said he gave up his match if this happened, and now that's the case. So I'm just shocked that the writing team doesn't see the subtle nuances they could have used to make this whole angle just make a whole lot more sense. Because as it sits right now, it's still almost like a conglomerated crazy setup of all this just mishmash that's been going on the last few weeks over, you know, AJ Styles should have lost the Battle Royal and Luke Harper's not even in the championship picture now and he should have really earned the opportunity to be in there. We all wanted to see the triple threat, I think. I think everybody had rationalized that might actually be better. I think we got to see how great Luke Harper's been lately. Now he's not even on the program this week. Moving forward, Styles has a segment in the back where he talks about how he's not afraid of Randy Orton, despite all the things Randy Orton's done in his career. Very short segment. Actually, it was very awkward listening to Styles talk during this part because he didn't sound fluid. It sounded so scripted. I didn't like this at all. It kind of shows some of the weakness in Styles' interview capabilities. I think in the last year, he's grown immensely with his in-ring segments, or his in-ring interviews or whatever, the backstage stuff. But at the end of the day, this one was not one of his best moments. He, you know, being not afraid, that sounds great, but there should have been more substance there. The first actual match is the James Ellsworth and Carmella match where they go against John Cena and Nikki Bella. Obviously, this is there to set up that match that is anything but a dream match that we've been talking about for weeks, heading into Mania against Miz and Maurice, who end up being at ringside. The match is actually relatively enjoyable. Not much offense from James Ellsworth. He misses one of his super kicks and whatnot, and Carmella actually gets some good action in there against Nikki Bella, but at the end of the day, interesting back and forth as you see stereo five-knuckle shuffles, you see the rack attack, you see the AA, you see the Fearless Lock, the STFU, and both members tap out, and John Cena and Nikki Bella end up winning the match. Now, as soon as the match is over, Miz and Maurice are in, and they attack, and they, you know, because we're doing everything in stereo, they stereo drive John Cena and Nikki Bella into ring posts, which is a great way to kick off the build to the WrestleMania match. It's obvious where they're going. I mean, they didn't hide this very well. I actually am now somewhat looking forward to the match. I feel weird saying that, only talking at the beginning of this about how much we didn't want to see that, but I'm starting to get some interest, not because I think it's going to be the most wonderful match, but because John Cena often is given a lot of flack for his in-ring skill, and Miz, I think, sometimes is underappreciated for his in-ring skill. So you're going to take two guys who You know, some people feel don't put on the best show, and you're going to give the ladies some more exposure by getting the rub from the two of them. There's just a lot of moving parts in this match that make it so there could be some interest and intrigue in this. Randy Orton is the next segment as he does an interview in the back coming out of his locker room. He talks about how AJ should just run, which, of course, is ludicrous. This is pro wrestling. It's not the schoolyard. AJ's not going to run anywhere. AJ thinks he's the best in the world. I would be hard-pressed not to agree with him. So, Randy Orton, short, sweet interview, typical Randy Orton stuff. We go to the ring where Curt Hawkins is awaiting Dean Ambrose. If you remember last week on SmackDown, he was waiting for a match with Ambrose, and he ended up taking dirty deeds, and then the match never happens because Ambrose is out looking for Baron Corbin. Well, same thing this week. Curt Hawkins is waiting. Dean Ambrose comes out, clotheslines Curt Hawkins, and gets in the ring, and he starts calling out Baron Corbin, talking about how he knows he's the lone wolf, and he's in the back, and blah, 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 and he wants him to come out and fight. The Earth thinks he's a scumbag. He's the neutered wolf with no testicles. I thought that was probably the money conversation of the week. Of course, Baron Corbin responds. He doesn't come out when he's called out. He comes out when he's ready and whatnot. So, of course, Dean Ambrose is not going to take that for an answer. He says, "I'll come. If you're not going to come to me, I'll come to you." As he goes out of the ring, there's Curt Hawkins again trying to get his hands on him. And he eats another dirty deeds out on the floor, which I really feel bad for Curt Hawkins. He was a nobody the last time he was in WWE. They built him up like he was some special thing coming in. He kind of had a feel like the Sean O'Hare character a few years back in 05. And they just bury this guy. Like, he's actually a whole lot better than they put him on to be on television. It's kind of a shame. Ambrose goes in the back, and he's searching for Baron Corbin. They show him looking around all over the back. We get an interview with Mojo Rawley, who announces that he's going to be the first entrant to enter the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. He's interrupted by Dolph Ziggler, who gives him a whole lot of guff about his place on the card. He tells him that he has to earn a WrestleMania moment, which I thought the best part about that is Mojo Rawley replying with something to the effect of, well, he hasn't earned one yet, you know. The reality is Ziggler's had many a moments, just I don't think the one that a lot of the fans who love Dolph Ziggler would like to have seen. We'd like to have seen him headline a Mania at this point. We go back to Dean Ambrose in the back again looking for Baron Corbin. He's still storming around the back, and at one point you see a production crew member get fly on the ground, and Baron Corbin comes out of nowhere and he nails Dean Ambrose with a lead pipe, and there's a full-on beatdown going on, and it ends with like this really bizarre moment where he like rolls him up in front of a forklift, and he drops the forklift blades on top of Dean Ambrose and like squishes him into the floor, which is absolutely ridiculous, ludicrous. You gotta, sometimes storylines, they need to be a little more realistic. If somebody did that to somebody, you'd be in jail, okay? Just because you're a pro wrestler doesn't mean that suddenly the law doesn't apply. So I know why they do this stuff. They do it for shock value or whatever, but can we be a little more realistic? I'm just saying, just my opinion. They end up getting referees in there and other personnel try to get him out from under the forklift. But still, it was a cool segment, just not very realistic. We come back from the break, and Alexa Bliss and Mickie James are on their way to the ring for the Blissertation. Her whole dispensing of how wonderful she is and her second title reign and whatnot. There's a comment in there where she says, you know, the whole world will hear from the greatest female superstar on SmackDown and the only two-time champion as she announces her opponent for WrestleMania. She says it's not Naomi. She's at home not feeling the glow. It won't be Nikki Bella. She's in the training room right now. It won't be Carmella because she's taking care of her chinless troll friend. Gotta love that line. Bliss says that it won't be Becky Lynch. Becky's just like Chucky. It doesn't matter how many times you get rid of her, she keeps coming back, or she comes back. And, of course, that's going to bring Becky Lynch out to the ring. Becky comes in. She says she's here for a declaration. She'll fight Bliss at WrestleMania. She'll take back her SmackDown Live Women's Championship. And, of course, after the teasing we had last week, here comes Natalya. So she comes out. She joins the fray. She comes out. She calls Becky a beaker. It's not always about Becky Lynch. Natalya had a good talk with Bliss last week, and they have an understanding. They're championship-level talent, and Becky's not. Bliss wants to know if Natalya got into some catnip because she's not getting a title match at WrestleMania either. Natalya's the worst there is, the worst there was, and the worst there ever will be. I love that. I think that was perfect. Mickie James wants everybody to shut up, which is kind of a surprise because Mickie James kind of played this subordinate role the whole time she's been back. Becky and Natalya are being selfish. Mickie says that she'll be Bliss's opponent at WrestleMania. Becky points out that she defeated Mickie twice last week. Daniel Bryan, he's going to come to the top of the rampway. He's going to give a grade on the Bliss rotation. Said if he was going to give a grade, he would give it an F. And he declares that Alexa Bliss, she always talks about how she's the best female on the roster. So she's going to defend the SmackDown Women's Championship against every female on the SmackDown roster at Mania. I don't know how they're going to configure that yet, and it was not something that looked like it was coming up when we were doing all the rumors and whatnot, but this has told some serious potential. He makes a tag team match to start right now, and he puts Natalya with Becky Lynch and, of course, Alexa Bliss with Mickie James. At the end of the match, Natalya is going to turn on Becky Lynch, beating her up and leaving her for the pin. Mickie James is getting ready to go for the pin, but Alexa Bliss reaches in and tags herself in, and she takes the pin. Afterwards, Bliss is in the center of the ring. She's got her championship belt. She's holding her hand in victory. She grabs Mickie James' arm to hold her hand up, and Mickie James hit her with a spinning back kick to the back of the head and picks up the belt and poses with it. Which, for me, personally, this was one of the best moments in the SmackDown Women's Division, probably in the whole calendar year so far. Awesome moment, Mickie James returning to that tough exterior that she had the first time she was in WWE. Go to commercial break. When we come back, we've got Austin Aries in an in-ring segment announcing his, or I should say in-ring, it's a backstage segment talking about he's going to announce his intentions on 205 Live, which we will hear about later. This leads to the Randy Orton AJ Styles match. This is the main event of the night. There's an NXT advertisement that tonight, as I'm recording this podcast, Nakamura makes his return to NXT. If you don't get to watch it live, by all means, go to WWE Network and pull up the matches from tonight's NXT. It should be amazing. They were recorded a few weeks ago. It's good stuff. And then, of course, getting back into the Randy Orton AJ Styles thing, the end of the match was actually pretty cool. You get AJ Styles, looks like he's going to pick up the win. He misses a 450 splash, and he ends up turning around and running into a pop-up RKO, which was pure money. Awesome RKO. Orton pins him. He's going on to WrestleMania to face Bray Wyatt like we've been predicting since before the Royal Rumble. So no shocks, no surprises here. What you find out after the show goes off the air is they filmed a segment where AJ Styles goes into the back and he gets in the face of Shane McMahon. He's exploding on him. This is why I said earlier in the show it didn't make any sense. If you want AJ to be mad at Shane McMahon, Shane McMahon should have been backing Randy Orton from the start. It would have made a whole lot more sense. He could have blamed him and thrown that whole thing in there. Instead, he's going back there yelling at the guy who wanted him to win, who wanted him to represent the brand. Doesn't make any sense from any kind of booking standpoint. We're going to transition to 205 Live. Austin Aries comes out in what has to be considered one of the funniest and most awesome moments of 205 Live yet. He interviews himself. And I'm not going to give you a transcript of him going back and forth asking himself questions. You just have to go back and watch that for yourself. It is funny, entertaining, and it really does capture Austin Aries' personality. And I feel like his character, his real life personality, is so similar to the one he wears in the ring. If you've ever met him live, he's a great guy to talk to, and it was just funny to see him interview himself. I thought that was a killer segment. Of course, Neville's going to interrupt him, talking about his worthiness. We'll have to find out. I think it's next week they're planning to have a number one contendership for the Cruiserweight Championship. So we'll see how that works out. They go into a match, Jack Gallagher and Rich Swann going against Arya Daivari and Noam Dar with Alicia Fox. Gallagher and Swann pick up the win, hitting all their big moves, hitting the Phoenix Splash, etc., etc., the corner drop kick. After the match, Noam Dar gives Alicia Fox chocolates. I really have no idea where they're going with this storyline. I don't know if I want to know. It's almost like wasted screen time that you don't mind having because it's so weird and stupid and unnecessary. I would just love for them to wrap up whatever the storyline is with the two of them. Moving on from there, Akira Tozawa is going to take on Brian Kendrick. So, to our surprise, you know, we already have the Brian Kendrick, but unfortunately that is not who he's going to be wrestling. He's going to be wrestling a Brian Kendrick, which is portrayed by the wrestler Eric Cannon, and he comes out to the ring with the Brian Kendrick. So the Brian Kendrick comes out and says, lesson number 6 is to read the fine print. Get into the ring, the typical Tozawa match that we're starting to love, all the high spots. He hits that snap German suplex for the win at the end of the match. Hey, obviously, this was not a swerve or an angle that I would have predicted. It was funny. I enjoyed it. And more than anything, it's nice to see another talent, Eric Cannon, get some screen time. Austin Aries makes his in-ring debut. He gets a match against Tony Nese. He ends up picking up the win in this match with his roaring elbow. You know, at the end of the day, Austin Aries, if you haven't been on the Austin Aries bandwagon, he has been a stud since like early in his career, whether it was Ring of Honor, TNA. There was a part where he was time in TNA when he was an X Division wrestler and he was hanging with Kevin Nash and people like that. He has always been entertaining. He got elevated to main event status in TNA. He held the world championship. This guy is so worldly traveled. His matches are always phenomenal. If you've never watched a lot of his work, by all means, go onto YouTube. You hear me say it all the time. Go to YouTube and take a look and see the stuff that Austin Aries has done throughout his career, because it's some pretty impressive things. On a somber note, Outlaw Ron Bass, who was a star in the 70s and 80s, for me personally, I watched him a lot when I was a child, originally in the NWA and then eventually in the WWE, WWF at the time. I'll never forget he had a feud with Sam Houston, who is the real-life brother of Jake the Snake Roberts, where they literally had this knockdown, drag-out feud going on. He was in the original Royal Rumble. So he's done a lot of things. He had feuds with Brutus the Barber Beefcake and a whole lot of other people. And unfortunately, at the age of 68, he passed away yesterday due to a burst appendix. It's such a sad way to go. And it's one of those things that you just can't see coming. So our thoughts and condolences and prayers go out to the Ron Bass family. It's just another person this year. It's been a horrible year for the wrestling community, losing some of these amazing people, you know. And we're going to go to our look back match for this episode. Our look back match, we forgot to get one last episode, so we're going to do it this way. We're going to skip the pro day in pro wrestling history today because we don't want to run over on time. But go to YouTube and pull up Bryan Danielson versus Fergal Devitt. Fergal, F-E-R-G-A-L, Devitt, D-E-V-I-T-T. This would be Daniel Bryan taking on Finn Balor. And yes, the match did take place earlier in Bryan's career and Balor's career. It is a fantastic match, by all means. Check that out. You get to see there's a lot of matches that a lot of people haven't seen in a long time or have never seen that you can find on YouTube. Is a wonderful resource to see some really exciting action that you probably would appreciate seeing all over again or seeing for the first time. We're going to move into our fantasy booking time again. Yesterday we gave you matches 9 and 10. We're going to go into matches 11 and 12. And match 11 is absolutely the highlight of this tournament for me. This is a match that for me could have been in the final, and I would have been thrilled if it worked out this way. Match 11, Brock Lesnar taking on Andre the Giant. In match 12, Bret Hart versus The Big Show. So here's what I want you to do. Go onto the YouTube link of this podcast and put in the comments section who you choose to win each one of those matches. Brock Lesnar versus Andre the Giant and Bret Hart versus The Big Show. Our YouTube fan poll that you could pop into the same comment here is, who had the better career in general, mostly WWE, but who had the better career, Lita or Trish Stratus? This being a month to focus on women's history, WWE did a great video package on these two ladies on Raw, and it's a wonderful thing that they acknowledge women of influence, and in the spirit of that, I wanted to throw that question out there, because they both did a lot for the industry, they did a lot for the Divas division, they did a lot for women's wrestling in general. They brought a physicality that a lot of women's matches didn't contribute prior, and, you know, unless you're counting people like, you know, Moolah in her early heyday, or maybe Sherry Martel and Medusa Miceli at the end of their careers, but they really did raise the bar for women's wrestling. So which one had the better career, Lita or Trish Stratus? By all means, please go online, give us a review, give us a subscribe. I say that all the time. I really need our audience to grow so we can put this podcast higher in the search results and all the different browsers that you can use to find us. Whether you use iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, you name it, we're on it, SoundCloud. I don't care where you find our podcast. Please give us a review, give us a subscribe. We'd love to hear your feedback. If you have anything to say that is constructive, I love to hear that. If you love the show, let me hear that too. You know, give me the ego boost for the day. I'm just saying. Don't forget about the Fro Life Planning Contest. For those who have no idea what Fro Life Planning is, let me just explain. We help students or adults find their path to either getting a higher education, being at a college or a university, or to a new career of their choosing. Every month, we run the Fro Life Contest, where I'll be giving away a free 30-minute one-on-one phone consultation to one lucky winner. All you have to do to enter the contest, there's no purchase necessary. You just have to follow a couple simple steps. One, launch the iTunes app in your computer. Go to the Fro Wrestling Podcast page on iTunes and click on the subscribe button. Once you've done that, click on the ratings and reviews, and there'll be a tab that pops up that says write a review. And do that. Write us an honest review. Give us some feedback. Those things help us make this program more than what it is currently. Finally, you go to our website at www.frolifeplanning.com/contest and you enter your email address, and when I can match up all those components, you get entered into the contest to win that consultation. If you're not going to college right now or you don't need the career change, that's okay. If you win, you can gift it to anybody you want who you think would benefit from that kind of advice. It's something we're passionate about here at Pro Life Planning, and we want to make sure we bring that service to anybody who needs it. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us in episode 38. We'll cover everything that happens in the world of wrestling. I'm expecting it to be a somewhat of a crazy week. Special thanks, as always, go out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing our music and sound effects we use in our show. Today's podcast was sponsored in part by Beazle Games, where bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazle Games and bring some fun and excitement back to family game night by going to www.thegamecrafter.com/sketchypeople to pick up your copy today. And to AlleyRepair.com. Contact AlleyRepair today for servicing of all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. We want to thank you for listening to today's podcast. We encourage you to go to our website at www.frolifeplanning.com so you can learn more about what Mr. Fro can do for you. Please remember that Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today. If you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, go to www.tsjsports.com/WWE for my latest articles on the world of professional wrestling published on that website that started just yesterday. So we're looking to build that audience as well. Until next episode, everybody, thank you so much for checking in with us, and we look forward to bringing you more news and rumors in the near future. Take care.